One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Today's episode of Expanded Perspectives is sponsored by Gaia.com. If y'all are like us, you've exhausted everywhere else you find your documentaries on the strange and unusual and the fun. And if you like grand conspiracies and more breakaway societies, paranormal, ancient civilizations like we all do, and UFOs, well, we've found the place right at your fingertips, folks. You can stream videos from anywhere, from your living room or on the go, with access to over 7,000 titles, all on Gaia.com, G-A-I-A. Now, you can get this for a monthly plan of $9.95 a month. Your first month will only be 99 cents. Now, there is a three-month plan and an annual plan. So, if you're into the things that we're into, and judging by what you're listening to, you are, start enjoying Gaia.com. Expand your perspective even more. G-A-I-A.com.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients can really make the difference, Cam. So it's important to know where your food comes from. Well, Blue Apron shows up at your door with all the ingredients individually packaged and ready to go, along with clear and easy-to-follow instructions on how to prepare everything. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranches across the United States, and as a result, seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef is raised humanely, chickens are free-range, and pork is raised naturally. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And pre-portioned means no food waste. Each meal is prepared in under 40 minutes, and you can save the recipe cards for future use if you choose to. Just some of the meals available in April include
spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta salt, Parmesan-crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli, sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger-fried rice, and, of course, baby broccoli and Fontina paninis with hard-boiled egg and arugula salad.
Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/expanded. You'll love how it feels and tastes to create incredibly home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/expanded. Blue Apron,
a better way to cook. What's up out there, y'all? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. That's right. It's that time again. It's me, Cam Hale, as always in studio with me today. We're both fighting the flu, not the flu, the allergies. Stuff has flown in, and his eyes look like he's gone a few rounds with Floyd himself, Mr. Kyle Filio-Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yeah, man, my allergies have been acting up. You know, it always happens this time of year. Not just if I'm doing it, but if even the neighbors are mowing the yard, it drives right? my senses insane. I cannot stop sneezing. Hazel Cat's even got me in a fit. If you don't know, we have a studio cat that showed up one day. I don't know who it was. Who left her is obviously somebody's pet, one that just dropped her off or something, because she's very personable. She hangs around the studio, and her name is Hazel Cat.
Hazel Cat.
Not Hazel. Her name is Hazel Cat.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We just gave her that name. She loves to listen to the stories we talk about. Her favorite stories are, of course, the mystery Black Panther sightings all over England.
Right.
And she likes Black Eyed Kid stories. And so she's always in here. Even when Cam's not here and I'm in here late at night editing and stuff, she's always here. She's like a little companion.
She likes to hang out.
But, you know, when I pet Hazel Cat, this time of year, it seems like for some reason, man, my allergies really
get your dander up.
Yeah, so I have to wash my hands after I pet her, and then she never leaves me alone. So Hazel Cat is in the corner. If you hear a strange cat sound, that is not any brilliant audio editing that I'm doing, including that in, inserting that into that. Hazel Cat.
I don't think they have to guess at that. I'm not ever sure that the words brilliant audio editor has ever crossed somebody's lips when they talk about you.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely true. What's going on, man?
Dude, not much. Just I said, hey, we had a great time. Hey, Brud played great Saturday. It was fun.
They did, man.
Great weather.
I mean, it was a heck of a ball game. We lost it, but hey, both teams were hitting.
They were,
you know, it was just a good game. But you know,
Jacob hit a monster double right up the center. It was awesome shot. You know, got walked the other times. Good eye, kid.
Yeah,
man, we had a great time. It was a great weekend. It's fun. Looking forward to getting back in here. But there's something I found online. No, we're always talking about crazy. Before we even get into the news, I saw this. I have no affiliation with these people. I just thought this is crazy. You always think about, like with your phone or with apps or any kind of technology, all the grandiose things, flying cars, you know, self-driving vehicles. You think about robots. You know, we always talk about the crazy stuff.
Right.
There's a company that's called Moo, like a cow, Moo Call. You can go to us.moocall.com, folks. I'm not getting paid for this. I just think this is cool. What this is people that are ranchers, you know, and that raise cattle for a living. When it comes calving season, it's a beating. I mean, it's work to pull calves. And that's especially if you ever have to pull calves. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they have them with no problem, but sometimes you end up having to go out there and help out. All hours of the evening, the whole thing. That's right, folks. You can now go to the App Store on Google Play or in the download in the iTunes there. They actually have an app for this device. Now, what this device is crazy. It mounts to the tail, and it can actually, I guess the way it works is it checks when a cow starts to give birth and they start treating. This is what it says. It's a non-invasive tail-mounted sensor that gathers over 600 pieces of data a second, and it can accurately predict when your cow is most likely to give birth by measuring tail movement patterns triggered by labor contractions. When they reach a certain level of intensity over a period of time, it then sends a text alert directly to your cell phone on average 1 hour prior to calving.
That's pretty cool.
So you don't miss it. You don't lose them to coyotes. You know, if you're there, you're ready to rock. You're ready to go. I never even knew. There's 187 reviews to this thing. It is unbelievable. You can also have set up for 3 separate email accounts so they could email out. So you know exactly this thing alerted so-and-so at this time. So you think, I never even dreamt that this would be going on. And when I saw this, I'm like, I got to tell everybody about this. This is insane.
That's pretty cool. Let's get into the news. This is a pretty cool story. This is a man named Cole from South Bend, Indiana. Let's go Fighting Irish. He called into Coast to Coast to tell his weird story about a ghost encounter he had. Check this out. It says, this is something that happened to me a couple of months ago, close to a year ago now. The Michigan state line isn't too far from where I live. A buddy of mine and I were having a hobby. Or we have a hobby, I'm sorry. We ghost hunt all over the place. Graveyard hop and such. And one specific place in Michigan we went to, we had a weird experience. We'd never been there before, but we discovered it online and decided, hey, let's go out there this weekend. Well, so we got there and we parked. It was an abandoned railroad bridge where we parked the car. We were getting our flashlights, throwing our coats on, and out of nowhere, another car is coming towards us on the other side of the road. This bridge is in the middle of absolutely nowhere, so any car out there is going to be a red flag. It could be a local, we didn't know. It could be the police, but it wasn't any of that. My instinct is I pull out my phone and I started recording. You know, who would come up on us? So my phone is recording, and out of the car jumps four college kids around our age. I happened to catch that on my phone. So we figured they were cool, and we were talking and having a good time, and we're getting to know each other, having fun at the old railroad bridge. We didn't catch much ghost activity out there. They were out there for the same reason we were. At any rate, a little while goes on, and I noticed the fourth kid that was with the three other kids that got out of the car. Well, I didn't see him. He was kind of hanging back a little bit. The three of them were all in a group together, and the fourth one was sort of like the odd man out. He wore a gray sweatshirt. He was there, but it was like he wasn't part of them, their crew. So a little while goes on, and we're standing around talking, and I noticed that there was only three of them, and the fourth person wasn't there anymore. So I said, "Hey, where did your buddy go?" And they said, "Who?" "It's just the three of us." My friend that was with me said, "Yeah, that's right. There was another one that was with you, a kid in a gray sweatshirt." So I knew that my friend could validate what I saw too. Well, the three of them didn't believe us. They said there's no way there was a fourth person with us. I realized, "Hey, I recorded when you guys got here on my phone." So sure enough, I pull the video up on my phone, and that's when I caught the fourth person getting out of the back seat of their car. Well, needless to say, they couldn't believe it. They were astounded. They had never seen this person before in their life. It was incredible. I still can't believe it. I still have the video to this day on my phone, and it trips me out every time I watch it. They had no idea. They said it was just the three of them that had set out that night to go by that bridge, and they had never seen that person before in their life. It was crazy. In the middle of nowhere. So that's pretty bizarre, right? He actually filmed what he claims to be a fourth person with them, or I guess it's like a spectral person, a ghost, that was accompanying the three guys out there.
But he saw it clearly. He saw
him and his friend saw it, and then he recorded it on his phone.
That is strange.
Now, unfortunately, I didn't see the video.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, why the story comes around and there's no
but
video.
But be the guys. Yeah. Be the guys that said, "Well, it was just us three." Then he shows you the film. And he's like, "No, look." And then they all say, like, "Ah, it was in there."
Right?
That's really interesting.
So was it a ghost, or was it, you know, I don't know, somebody hiding in the back seat?
Why would you do that, knowing that somebody would be out there? You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to do. "Oh, I think there's going to be somebody out here. Let's go out there and mess with them."
I don't know. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I got another one crazy for you. Now, there's been a lot of listeners send this to us, and we've been inundated with messages and emails and all that. So I'm going to talk about this because this is really interesting. This just happened. I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, and I'm going to get inundated with more messages, but this is a Benoit County woman swears Bigfoot caused her to crash on US 95 near Potlatch, Washington. Now, get a load of this. It says a Benoit County woman swears Bigfoot caused this crash. This is late Wednesday night. The Latah County Sheriff's Office reports that a 50-year-old woman walked into their office early Thursday morning around 12:30 to report the incident. She told a deputy that she was driving on US 95 north of the Potlatch Y near mile marker 367 earlier that evening, around 11 o'clock Wednesday night, when this incident occurred. The woman believes she saw a Sasquatch chasing some deer along the highway, and when she looked into her mirror to see what she called the hairy beast, she hit a deer which was running from the Bigfoot. She says that this Sasquatch was about 7 to 8 feet tall. Now, the woman kept driving her damaged vehicle and picked up her husband from work and then went straight to the sheriff's office in Moscow. Seems like a long drive. She sustained a minor neck injury in the crash. Now, the sheriff's office there, the deputy responded to the scene of the crash and located evidence of a collision, but the report didn't indicate if he found any evidence of the elusive Bigfoot. Says that the collision and Bigfoot sighting occurred at mile marker 366.9, which is near Bricken Road north of Potlatch. So I haven't heard of any accidents blamed on the Bigfeets, but apparently we've got one now. He's chasing him some deer, shot one out in front of her, and she tagged it. Pow.
Yeah, no, I can see what that would happen, but once again, could it be a case of, you know, misidentity? Could it have been a bear or something else? I mean, I know you don't know, but I'm saying, I mean, it is an interesting story, and heck, maybe it really happened. I have no idea. But it could be something else, too. I would, you know, that would be my first inclination. But I don't, you know, She didn't go into a lot of detail, I guess, in what it looked like, other than it was a Bigfoot.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna play this side of the whole thing is why I would assume that the woman driving through there has seen her share of bear, if there are bear in that area.
Yeah.
So that's why true. Would you take your eyes off the road? And it, now, mind you, too, it's 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
You know, so it makes me wonder. I'm like, well, how bright was it? If there's, you know, I have no idea. But I could see that if you saw something more, because if it's a bear, it's on all fours. She's talking about a bear. Right. What's a bear? A bear couldn't catch a cold running on only its back feet.
Right. They can stand on them, but they can't walk very fast.
You're not going to be able to move. You're going to run like me. You need to try to get like a bear running on it. So I'm assuming that what she saw. And first of all, why would you make it up? I hit a deer. Just say, hell, I hit a deer. Not there was a Bigfoot chasing this deer that run out. Something about this just makes sense to me.
Can you call State Farm Insurance and get your double agent or whatever?
Three to come ahead of us, Jimmy. Yeah, you know, exactly.
I don't know. That's pretty cool. You
have to get Flo from Geico on this one.
Yeah.
With her Flo Geico pistol.
Yeah, from time to time on the show, I talk about these stories where these supposed people are in a bad accident, much like the one you were talking about. And when they wake up from a coma or this accident, they somehow have some kind of superpower. Like they have the ability to speak Mandarin Chinese, even though they've never studied it before. Or they have a really good ability to play chess, or, you know, they just wake up with these incredible abilities. Well, recently on the Dr. Phil show, they had a woman on there who claims that she died, and when she woke up 15 years ago, she has psychic abilities. Now, her name is Caden, and she claims that God sent her back with a mission and some special gifts. Now, she claims that when she woke up after she died, she says she can speak French now, she can write the Bengali alphabet, and she said she can understand any foreign language. Now, it even gets crazier than that. Caden also claims that she has X-ray vision and can see spirits. And Caden, who's dating this guy named Matthew, who's a man 24 years younger than her, claims it's these abilities that helped her determine that he was abused as a child. And she says that she's trying to help this guy, Matthew, now. Now, of course, his mother and grandmother deny that Matthew was ever abused as a kid, and they claim that this woman, Caden, is actually brainwashing her son. So they have her on the Dr. Phil show, and I don't know, you know, that's what they're trying to figure out. Is this woman brainwashing this guy for, who knows, maybe financial reasons, maybe emotional reasons, maybe purely physical reasons, who knows? Or does she really have these abilities? And when Dr. Phil kind of puts her on the spot, well, let's just take a listen.
God sent me back with a mission and some gifts. I can speak French. I can write the Bengali alphabet. I can understand any foreign language. I have an effect on metal. So, like, if I think things that God doesn't want me to think about, he'll, like, bend my metal. The craziest thing that I know how to do is I can hear what people think before they speak. At nighttime, I have X-ray visions. I can see where people's old broken bones. I can see basically the light of their skeleton. I also see spirits.
He's like in a pink aura right now, like Matthew's grandfather. He's hanging out.
Richard is Matthew's deceased grandfather. I usually feel a presence behind me, like right now. I can feel him here, and he's smoking, for instance, this pipe that he had. I feel Richard's presence now, and it's very strong. It feels like there's a person standing behind me. Richard is adamant that when Debbie dies, that he does not want Debbie buried next to him. Richard is supporting my relationship with Matthew. He's really, like, actually being quite annoying right now. He says that it's not fair that he had to die before he met me. I love Richard because even from the grave, he's been more of a dad to me than my own dad. It doesn't bother me when people doubt my abilities because I'm just the messenger for God. It's basically, well, you can believe me or not.
Do you believe that she has psychic abilities?
I was a little doubtful when I first met her. Obviously, as most people would be skeptical sure. to that. And then I saw more of her work.
So she can tell what you're thinking?
She says it's not very easy for her to tell what I'm thinking.
But other people, it's easier.
Easier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you tell me what I'm thinking right now?
It's not like one of those things that happens like
under pressure. Like, I can't really do it on demand necessarily.
Take your time.
Okay, well, it's just like, it's just like when the spirits show up, it's not like I get to just pick and say, okay, you know, you want to talk to your dead grandma or whatever. I don't get to just pick. It's more like
they show up. I didn't ask you to mediate with the dead. I just ask you to tell me what I'm thinking.
I have no idea, honestly.
Well, but you claim to be able to read people's
just
minds.
Just not under, I mean, I've got these two evil people staring at me. It's a little difficult. It really is very difficult to do under these circumstances.
I'm sure it is. It's really difficult to do when people are looking at you and they can see completely through everything that's fake.
Well, there you go. See? She claims to have all these abilities, like she can tell what you're going to say, Cam. She knows what you're thinking, and she knows what you're going to say before you say it.
But
when he calls her out on it and says, well, can you tell me what I'm thinking? Of course, she can't do it.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it doesn't really work like that. And even the guy's mother and grandmother are like, well, yeah, it's convenient. It doesn't work like that when everybody wants you to do it. So it does make, unfortunately, you know, here, look, I have a great love for the paranormal. That's why I'm the host of this show. And I do believe that some people do have these incredible abilities. There are these savants out there for whatever reason can play music like, you know, like Bach or
Mozart. We don't believe this one.
Man, to me, it seems like, unfortunately, it seems like she's a con artist preying on this young man who, like I said, who knows? Maybe he's got a lot of money, or maybe she just needs emotional support and she can't find that. She appears to me to be a con artist. That's what it appears to me. And it's kind of sad because people they get taken by this. How many people, I mean, we know psychics. And I've actually had some people do some readings, and man, some of them are pretty scary how good they
are.
Exactly. But you know, everybody listening to this knows that there are psychics out there that are purely just making it up and feeding
people
off these people.
People are con men in every walk of life.
Absolutely. And there's these stories of old people losing all their money because they keep going to these psychics trying to tell them, you know, how to, what lottery numbers to play. And, all, and you're always like, man, use some common sense. If they really knew, how come... You know, they have a meager life where they're just barely inking by, yet they know everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense. Unfortunately, it appears that this woman's a con artist.
What would be your superpower, you think? What would you hope for if you got hit in the wig and woke up months later with a superpower?
My superpower...
Or do you think you'd be, like, gifted with one that would be, like, horrible? Like, you know what I mean? Like a totally pointless superpower.
Yeah, that would probably be it. If I could choose... That's a good question.
I heard this discussed on some show I was listening to, and I started laughing because one of the hosts said, I think if I was going to be blessed with a superpower, I would have the superpower to believe that it is butter.
I think I would like to be probably...
It's not butter. I can believe it is butter.
I would probably like to have the ability to be really awesome at poker, like Dan Balzerian or whatever.
That's
it? Dude, have you seen that guy's life? He's balling from just playing poker.
You don't want to like help sick kids or rescue people. You just want to play poker and get the ladies.
Yeah, basically.
Well, at least he's honest. Speaking of honesty, folks, I've got one here for y'all from Cryptozoology News.
Of course.
An alien creature, transparent flying horse, spotted in England. This is for our friends and fam across the lake here. It says that two people claim to have seen an unidentified, transparent flying creature in northwest England just after leaving the Luxembourg Signal concert that evening. I'm joking, Beth. I am joking. Nobody was at your concert getting high. Nobody was seeing that. Listen, I want you to listen to this. A 49-year-old woman named Joanne Matthews told Cryptozoology News that she was dropping her granddaughter off at her home and Runcorn when they saw the odd creature this past Wednesday evening. Now, she says that it was a clear night. Both myself and granddaughter noticed the constellations, Orion's Belt, etc. We then noticed something moving slowly across the sky, higher than a plane. The weird thing was it was the same color as the sky. Its wings, she explained, were flapping. Adding that to as the reason that they were able to differentiate the shape in the sky. It was physically moving. It was my granddaughter who said it was a Pegasus, as its shape and movement looked like it. Now, the woman described the creature as having large protrusions on both sides of its body. She says this, to see this clearly, it must have been huge. It had a head and body shape and looked like it was flying. Now, I love this story because of the whole idea of the Pegasus, right, and the flying. But my thing is, could it have just been one of those reports of a flying humanoid? what you're seeing, the main movement you're seeing, if it's higher than a plane, but you can make out that it looks like a Pegasus, yet it's the same back color as the backdrop of the sky. It would seem to be like a large humanoid if you're going to make something else like that. Now, not to break away from this news story, but I don't want to tell Kyle to look up, but look up right over here, Kyle.
Oh, my God.
There's a big spider just come sliding down on its silk here, and it's hanging right beside me.
Hazel Cat, protect me.
Kyle's got this wide-eyed stare, folks, right now in the studio.
get out of here. Look, here he comes.
He's coming down. He's descending. Down. I'm moving my drink. He's going to try to descend into that. You can't have that. Go on now. Get out of here. Oh. Now he's swinging towards me. Anyhow, if this gets on me, y'all are going to know.
it gets on me, you're definitely going to know.
Yeah. Right. Could it have just been that? Could it have just been a humanoid? I mean, because this is the first report I've ever heard of a Pegasus. Right?
Yeah, I've heard of griffins and things like that. The Brentwood Griffin.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a Pegasus sighting.
That sounds pretty awesome, though, to see it. But it's still like it's the same color as the sky and stuff. I'm like, well, what was it then? Because you couldn't really make it out. If it's higher than a plane. I'm like, come on, it almost seems like, is it a ripple in space? What are you looking at? That doesn't seem like you could make out the details of that whole thing. But, man, you know what? I'd like to retract, and I would like to see a Pegasus now. That would be something. The hell with the humanoids and all. I'd like to see a flying Pegasus, just like in the old original Clash of the Titans. That's what I want to see.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. I'll tell you what else is awesome. When I come back from break, I'm going to be discussing something that we touched on just a smidge on this past Elite show when I was talking about some haunted rivers and things like that. This really isn't going to touch exactly on a haunted river, but it does take place along one. It takes place along the Red River, folks. When we get back from the break, I'm going to talk about the Bell Witch. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And we are back, and we are fighting off the spider still. He's in here somewhere. I just saw him make a pass down through here. Kyle and I are on edge. Our spidey senses are tingling. And for that, we're going to bring it in to the Bell Witch. Now, this has been discussed numerous times, and this is actually a very interesting, I guess you could call it a poltergeist encounter. You could call it, I remember seeing a long time ago on one of those ghost shows, Ghost Hunters or something. I can't really remember right now. But where there was a dude that him and his wife lived in this house. And I think they had a child with them. And these ghost hunters got there. And apparently the poltergeist in the home did not like him. He would always have scratches on his body. You know, and he would talk about it. And almost like almost in front of you, you could see it. You know, coming up. And I remember I didn't look into that too much because I didn't want it to be not true. Because I thought it was awesome, the whole deal. Of course, it was awesome because it wasn't happening to me. But this is kind of one of those stories along those lines, is it seems like something has attached itself. And because it took place a while back, and when I say a while back, it began back in the early 1800s, it's going to be hard to really nail down the truth behind this whole story. Like, we don't really know. Like most stories, like we talk about, you can't let the truth get in the way of a good story, of course, but you don't really know to what extent this has been blown completely out of proportion, much like even stories within the last months, you know, around here, even in our time could do. So when I talk about it, you know, we're talking about Tennessee, we're talking about the Red River there. And of course, like we said, with a name like the Red River, it's hard not to do a double take. You think about that, you're like, well, what's it named Red for and all this? And especially when it possibly ties into one of what's considered the greatest ghost stories in the history of America. Now, like I said, what I'm referring to is the Bell Witch in Tennessee. Now, it began in 1817 when the Bell family started experiencing some very strange things in their home. Now, I'm going to take you all the way back to the beginning so you can kind of understand this. It was in the early 1800s, a fellow by the name of John Bell. He upped his family and moved them from North Carolina to the Red River, this bottomland there in Tennessee, in a place called Robertson County. And, of course, there was a little community there, and it's along the Red River, and it later on became Adams, Tennessee. So that's where they decided they would make their home, a beautiful area right in that. So once they landed, of course, and got down in there, and I'm picturing, you know, the covered wagons and the horses, and you're coming and going down through there. You know, it wasn't near as easy as the life that we live now. So once they was there, John, you know, shelled out a little money and bought some land, and there was a large house there. And he gets this large home, and he gets all this because he's got a pretty large family. And then, like most of the people in that area, like most men and of vision and all this, he, over the next several years, started buying more land.
Mm-hmm.
And so he increased it up to 328 acres of land. And then he cleared the majority of that land off to turn it into farming land. Now, during the time he's doing all this work, he's also big into church, which most people were, correct?
Yeah.
So he's made an elder there of the Red River Baptist Church. So when they get moved in, you know, after they move in there to Tennessee, of course, you know, he's feeling frisky. And so they have a few more children. He has Elizabeth, which would later be known, of course, as Betsy, Richard Bell, and Joel Bell. Now, this is from 1806, 1811, and 1813, respectively. That's how they were born and laid out there. Now, back, it starts, of course, like I said, Joel was born in 1813. 4 years later, the youngest of the children, who's four, 1817, John's out, and he's inspecting these cornfields, right? And he's going through, he's checking all this stuff out. And the story goes that he comes across a strange-looking animal of some sorts sitting in the very middle of a corn row. And he said he's shocked by this when he sees it. He's not really sure. He claims that it had the body of a dog and the head of a rabbit. So, you know, we're talking giant ears, but the body, so a completely odd animal that I've never heard reported that we could even relate this to something kind of crypto or, you know, anything folklorish. Not really sure what it was. So the story says Bell gets out his gun. He shoots it several times. Now, when I read several times, when I would come across that, it made me start thinking, now you're talking about the 1817. We're talking about, of course, this is pre-Civil War. So we're talking muskets, flintlocks, things along those lines. You know, we're talking, you would have to fire and then reload and fire and reload. And it wasn't just, you know, blazing away semi-auto or revolver style. So it would take some time. Story goes that it vanished. Bell was like, huh, well, I don't know what it was, but it's gone. Very practical man. He's like, I'm not even going to mess with it. So he doesn't. And then it wasn't long after that that the house started having these knocking noises and scratching noises all around it, on the doors, the windows, the outside of the house. And it started to increase in frequency, where it wasn't just a couple of nights a week. Then it started getting to be every night of the week. And then it wasn't just quiet every now and again, a scratch or a rap or a tap or a bump, but it was a very loud thumping sound and scratching and clawing sound. As it gained in frequency, it gained in intensity also. So, yeah, Bell one night, sitting there after dinner, hears all this sounds. His older boys are, you know, he's got a large family. So he's like, get your stuff. Let's go. We're going to bust out. Instantly, you think of the movie Signs. You know, he's like, I swore, you know, and Mel Gibson runs out. He's cursing and they're trying to catch all whatever's on the outside. And they run around the corner. That's what I picture was going down. And yet the same thing happened. They run out there. They run out with his boys. They circle the house. Nothing. They didn't see anything. They're like, well, we just didn't get it this time. So they wait and they plan the next night and the next night and the next night. And this goes on for weeks. Still nothing. They charge out when they hear these sounds and there's nothing there to be. They don't even see a thing that could possibly be making these sounds.
Spooky.
You imagine how terrifying it would be. And then you start losing sleep. You start, because now it becomes a thing that's weighing on you daily. Correct? You're thinking about this. Well, then the children start reporting that they start waking up, but they're feeling scared. They have this scared, you know, impending doom, if you will, feeling. But they also say that they heard what they were calling rats chewing on the legs of their bed, the bedposts, scratching and chewing on those. Nothing. Nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, there's nothing there. The kids are looking. The dad's looking. Mom's got lanterns out there. There's nothing here. You're hearing these sounds, but there's no marks. So it's not like there. You know, you could be like, it was a rat. No, there's not a mark one. After all this goes down, the children start complaining more. They start saying that they wake up with their blankets being pulled off their bed. Some other of the members of the family started reporting that they felt like they were having their bodies scratched, their hair pulled, and some even reported they felt like they were kicked in the side while they were sleeping. Elizabeth Bell, that I had discussed.
How hard are we talking getting kicked? Are we talking like Donald Cerrone or Pedro Izzo kicked? I mean,
yeah, right. We're talking just like a spiritual kick is what I'm thinking. If I don't know what those would be. But now we start talking about the Betsy Bell, Miss Elizabeth. Now, remind you, 1806 is when she was born, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, this is all started in 1817. This is when it fires up. So she's still young. Apparently, whatever this was not a fan of Betsy's. She reports that she would feel like she were getting stuck with pins. She would get slapped around, like literally smacked in her sleep and wake her up. So much so that she started having bruises. They started taking notice. So John didn't want to tell anybody. You know, he's not, and you can imagine back then, that's just the way these people were. They didn't want to discuss their business with anybody, so he don't want to tell anyone. So he wants to keep it a secret. But he starts telling his neighbor, which is his closest buddy, his name's Mr. James Johnston. And he starts telling, he's like, hey, James, you know, you ain't going to believe what's going on at my house. You know, you think you got it bad because it's kind of cold and your wife's kind of grappy. You got nothing on me. There is some spectral monster hiding out in there. So James is like, well, let me come see this. You know, let me come stay over there at your house. So him and his wife come over there and spend the night. And what happens? Same thing. Same thing happens to James and his wife. They have their covers, their blankets ripped completely off the bed. James himself even said, yeah, I was getting smacked around. Woke him up. The story goes that he jumps out of bed that night and yells, in the name of the Lord, who are you and what do you want? Well, the story goes that there was no response, and the night went quiet after that. There was no more problem. It was over. But that wasn't the only time. It's not like it ended for good. It just ended that evening. Well, so you go on, and you find out that they start like, wait a minute, this thing's kind of got some intelligence to it. It's not just roving around smacking people. This thing is starting to speak, starting to have a voice. And over time, it starts as a whisper, and then it grows, like we've talked about, with frequency and intensity, till now it's a very loud and unmistakable voice. Story goes that it sang hymns, that it would carry on an intelligent conversation, that it would even quote scripture from the Bible.
But they couldn't see it. It was just a disembodied voice.
Exactly. Just a disembodied voice was all it was. It went on later to identify itself. And it claimed that it was a witch of Kate Batts. Now, Kate Batts lived next to the Bells. And this is the real rough part right here. John was trying to do some business with Kate. Now, we're not talking about that kind of business. We're talking about real shady, horrible business of slaves. He was working in purchasing some slaves, either from Kate or selling them to Kate, one of the two. I believe it was trying to purchase them from Kate to work his fields. And, of course, something went bad. So all the locals in the area started calling this witch Kate, this whole spirit. And it turned into where she was making daily visits to the Bell household and pretty much destroying any form of stable mentality of anybody there. It's the constant wear, you know, like we always talk about people physically going through the anguish, but mental anguish is probably could be worse than any form as it breaks you down.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Well, of course, like we said, as the Johnstons found out about it, it started growing. More and more people started growing. More and more people learned about it till it was all across that county and growing even more. Now, part of the story tells that John Bell Jr., Jesse Bell, and Drury Bell, the three oldest of the Bell boys, actually had fought with General Jackson in the Battle of New Orleans. So, I guess they knew him, as the story goes, or knew, you know, had some interaction with him in some form or fashion. So they send word back to Nashville. which at the time, Andrew Jackson was a major general then, and he took a personal interest in this. So much personal that in 1819, Andrew Jackson and several, accompanied, of course, by several of his men, horseback, and a supply wagon, decided to go down to the Bell Farm because they wanted to know what was going on, try to see what this whole thing was about. As the tale goes on, the Major General and his men approach the Bell property, and the wagon suddenly stops. Now, it doesn't stop because the horses stop. It stops because the wheels will not turn. Horses are pulling against a froze wagon.
Mm.
So it's like you set the parking brake and like, not today, partner, and it's not going anywhere. They're pulling against it, pulling against it. Says that the men, of course, were trying to coax the horses. You can imagine trying to get them to go. They're pulling. Well, then you know about, you know, like we talked about back men at the time. You've seen the movie Tombstone, whenever the fella's whooping on Wyatt's horse. You can only imagine the horses start getting whooped on. They're not moving. They're still not moving. The whole thing becomes a train wreck. So Jackson, it's said, proclaimed that it must be the Bell Witch, boys, that's not wanting us to move. Like I said, as the tale is told, that not only the Jackson, but men around heard a disembodied female voice that said that they could proceed and that she would see them again later that evening.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And as it goes, I said the wheels started to turn. Boom. And then it was, so they froze up for several minutes. Nothing was happening. 5-10 minutes. They all went to raising a ruckus, and then she appears, and, you know, at least in voice, says, hey, look. I'm gonna come check y'all out. They go up there to it. Of course, Jackson and John Bell sat down. They start talking about all kinds of stuff, you know, and all this. And there was some of the men in Mr. Jackson's little entourage there, if you will. They were looking around to try to see if she was going to show herself. They thought that it was like a real apparition. They were coming there. Well, one of the men that was riding with Andrew proclaimed that he was a paranormalist. Of course, this is back prior to the term paranormalist. They used the word witch tamer. Witch tamer. I'm a witch tamer. I guess you could consider me a witch tamer. I've been with my wife for years, man. For years. I'm a witch tamer. So they're all sitting around. Nothing's going on. And it said that after several hours, this alleged witch tamer pulls out this pistol. And he says that in this pistol is a silver bullet. And that silver bullet's been blessed, and it, if it comes in contact with any sort of evil, doesn't matter what it is, you know, spiritual or physical, it will kill it. It will destroy it. And this fella goes on to say that the reason that nothing's happened there is because that it's afraid of his silver bullet, that this witch or whatever it is afraid of the silver bullet. So it's because he's there with his shiny little pistol. It's the reason everyone's safe. Well, the tale says that right after those words were uttered, the fellow starts screaming and starts swatting at his body and moving around like he's almost like he's being stung. And he claims that it felt like he was being stuck with push pins, straight pins, in his skin. And then beatings, savage beating was going on at the same time. They also claimed that it was so savage that he was kicked through an open front door. Invisibly kicked. He said that
Again with the kicking.
He said it felt like a kick to his backside, and he was kicked out the open door there at the house. Well, some of the other men there report that there was an angry voice started speaking, and all they could make out was the word fraud. Yeah. So it made you think she's found something else out. You know, she knows this guy's full of it, basically. Well, the next day, of course, through the night, they don't want to be there. The men don't want to leave there. They're talking to Jackson. They're like, get us out of here. We've got to get gone. You know, we got to get gone. Finally, Jackson's like, get out of here. Go outside. Get away from the house. Go out there. So they go out and they go to sleep and all this stuff. Nobody really knows any more than that as far as if you really do some digging and looking around of any more. I guess you might be able to get into some of the writings or whatnot of Andrew Jackson and try to dig up and if you could even see if there was a way to paper trail him that had gone down to this area. But the story says that nobody really knew what happened, but that early the next morning he was spotted again with that same group of guys, the same everything, up near Springfield, headed back to Nashville. Like he went down for one night and was like, you know what? I'm good with that. You know, I'm good with this whole thing. Well, not long after he left, John Bell started getting sick, not feeling well, feeling tired, feeling run down. You know, and that's how it starts. You know, we always talk about like a disease. That's how it seems to set in. When you, you know, people with cancer, anything, some serious disease, if it doesn't hit you like a freight train, it starts, you slow down a little bit to where you don't take notice at first. Well, he took notice right off the bat. He's like, look, I'm not feeling well. And knowing what's been going on in our house and in my life, I think there's a reason. Well, he says that it was the witch. And writings claim that it was heard, this Kate, saying that she was responsible for him being sick. So he would lay there ill, trying to rest, try to get the feeling better. And she would torture him the way she tortured Andrew Jackson's men. With the poking and the relentless whispering in his ears. Leg kicks, right? Yeah, leg kicks and head kicks, crane kicks, turning side kicks, all of his stuff while he was sleeping.
Question mark.
Right? Yeah. Everybody was kung fu fighting there in Tennessee. He just wants to rest. Now, you would know as well as I do, you've been sick and he had your kids home with you, and when you can't rest, it's compounded, right?
Yeah.
So you could only imagine if you were really ill trying to rest. I said one day he went to bed early. He'd come in from work. He was just exhausted. He went to bed, and he never recovered from that thing.
Really?
Yeah. They said he went to bed, and he was found in this bed the very next morning, and beside him was a strange bottle, and he was completely senseless at this time. Now, his wife made note that his breath smelled like the black liquid that was found inside that bottle.
Jägermeister.
Right? Jäger. So the boys grabbed, and get a load of this, the family cat. At the time, scooped up their Hazel Cat, and they decided they were going to use it for a little experiment.
Hazel Cat, cover your ears.
That's right. Don't listen to this, Hazel Cat. Don't look at me when I'm reading this either. They took one single drop of the liquid out of that bottle, and they said, let's going to give it to the cat. If Dad's got into this, let's see what happens. Right? They opened the cat's mouth, drop a little bit on that sandpaper tongue. They said they set it down. They were going to observe the outcome of the cat experiment. Nothing big. Cat made a few circles around the bed, you know, being like a cat it was, and then fell over dead. No kicks, no sounds, no acting crazy, just dropped dead.
Poison.
Down it went.
Right?
One day after that, the very next day, the loving husband and father, Mr. John Bell, died. Now, the story, of course, you know, it goes on, and it says that the family heard at the time, the witch, they all heard it. This is what it says, as the entity spoke up, exclaiming joyfully, I gave old Jack a big dose of that last night, which fixed him. That's what it was said. Now, it claims that John Jr. was holding the vial when they heard it, and that he threw it into the fireplace, and it exploded when it hit the back of the stone, and that a bluish flame shot up the chimney.
Really?
So, yeah, that's what some of the stuff says. They go on to say that she was even made her presence known at his funeral, and that people reported that during the burial of this beloved patriarch of this family, that they was laughing, singing, and cursing that people could hear that was not coming from the people attending. Now, prior to John dying, of course, his daughter Betsy was the one that seemed like she had the interactions with Kate before John did. So it's almost like John saw the thing in the cornfield, had these interactions, you know, something happened, and then this thing attached, like, well, I'll go after his kids, right?
Right.
Betsy, of course, pretty girl. She was interested in a young fella that lived there down the road. Of course, we know we say neighbors down the road. It might have been 10 miles. But down the road, a fella named Joshua Gardner. And both parents were happy for them. You know, the Bells, the Gardners, they were ecstatic. They were like, these two are perfect for each other. They're going to get married. It's just the way things are done. Now, you can imagine, you know, Betsy's probably 14, 15, 16. You know, that was average, I'm guessing, back then. So everyone was happy. Everyone's excited, except they said almost everyone. Now, they're not really sure why, but Betsy was repeatedly told not to marry Joshua Gardner. By who? The evil and full of hatred witch entity, Kate. Kate had come to Betsy and tormented her in her dreams and would tease her and berate her during the day, at night, in her ear, the whole time. Anytime she tried to make time with Joshua, that was going on. The beratement, the teasing. They said they couldn't even go down to the river. They couldn't go anywhere. They said they couldn't go any place without this persistent nagging from this ghost. Well, the story goes that in 1821, that was actually on an Easter Monday, that Betsy had had enough. And that altogether, she's like, we're done. We're breaking off the whole engagement. This is it. I can't take anymore. Is, you know, if we do this, maybe it'll be done. Now, there's another part of the story that's a little interesting, and it talks about a fellow named Richard Powell. Now, Richard Powell was actually a school teacher, and he taught Joshua and Betsy, and was actually quite a bit older than her. And the story goes that he was interested in Miss Betsy Powell, and that he wanted to marry her when she allegedly became older. But some people have even said that Powell was an occultist. Now, it's never been substantiated. You can read it in a lot of spots and all this stuff. But some people were saying that Powell was an occultist, and they were like, they believed that maybe he had a fascination with her and her family prior to this, and maybe he tried to do something to break them up since it happened before John's accident happened, because John was still well before Kate, you know, before Betsy and Joshua broke up. This is before John passed. So he was still there. So they're thinking that maybe it started and maybe it got out of control. You know, right, maybe he opened up something and let it all out. So it says that after Betsy and them broke off the engagement, that it started to decrease, the teasing, the taunting, and this whole thing. But that's when it kind of seemed to transfer over to John. Of course, like I said, after that it slipped over to her dad. And let it be, as far as I can tell, it was known that later on, Betsy and Joshua ended up getting married anyway. It was like, it's whatever, you know, she was, had enough. But in April of 1821, the story says that John Bell's widow, Miss Lucy Bell, was visited by Kate, by this entity, and was told that she would return to visit her again in 7 years. And she reported that in 1828 that she did return, and that most of all these visits started taking place around the eldest son, John Bell Jr. Now, John Bell Jr. reported this, that whenever the spirit or this entity or whatever you want to call it, this witch, if you will, whenever she showed up, that she would have discussions with Jr. And not like hateful discussions. Yeah, I see the look on your face. I was the same way. You start reading where they start talking about that. He said that this witch would talk to him about Christianity, about past ancient civilizations, would talk to him about the origin of life. Even the fact that there was a mass spiritual reawakening needed to happen in the peoples of this time. That's what he claimed. Now, could it have been simply stress related to what had happened to his father? Could it have been simply that maybe there was a touch of mental illness that ran in the family and they all believed that they heard it? You know, the father, the son, the daughter.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point.
The father pays for the sins of this, or the son pays for the sins of the father. You go through these things and you see this and you're like, maybe it was just mental illness. But when people start reporting all these physical attributes to it, it does seem strange, you know. And then the wife would have been hard. Maybe, who knows? We have no idea. There's even reports that John was told about accurate predictions of the Civil War and things that would happen in there. So it seems like what ended up happening after all that was that about 3 weeks after she appeared to John Bell Jr., now this was, of course, in 1828, he'd come back and all that she was gone. And she told John on her last visit that she would visit his direct descendant in 107 years. So they did the math, and it said it would have been in 1935. So the closest living direct descendant of Mr. John Bell at that time was still in Nashville, and he was a doctor, Dr. Charles Bailey Bell. Now, here's a real odd thing. Dr. Bell wrote a book that was published in 1934 called The Bell Witch. He died in 1945. There was no follow-up published. There was none of this stuff published after. That was it. 1934, they published the book, The Bell Witch. His direct descendant. Direct living descendant. So we don't really know. You know, we don't really know if it was a poltergeist, if it was a ghost, any of this stuff. Now, if you go to reading, a lot of people believe that whatever this thing was never left Adams, Tennessee, that it stayed there. That goes into the story of the Bellwitch Cave.
I've heard of that.
Now, it's along the Red River on what used to be the Bell Farm. Now, of course, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that goes on. And you got to imagine folklore and local legends and old wives' tales, you know, and certain and urban legend. You got to imagine as this has grown over these years, you know, because we're talking a long time now, a long time. But a lot of people have become very drawn to this with these accounts of what goes on in these caves. And they believe that this cave that's on this property was originally used for storing food because this cave actually stays at 56 degrees constant. So they believe that the bells, and they could store things in there and keep it, you know, you got to imagine storing your grain, anything in the summer. You found the cave, you go and stick it in there. There's also a few accounts that you'll find about Kate was talking to Betsy and several of her friends when Kate was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Near the inside of this cave, that they had an encounter where they were all playing up down along the river where this cave was. Now, the cave itself, they say, overlooks the, or is located in this bluff. And this bluff overlooks the Red River. And that it opens fairly wide at the entrance, but it's a very long tunnel. So it goes in pretty deep, okay?
Yeah.
Now, they say that the true length is completely unknown because as you go in there pretty deep, it narrows. But what's been really, really looked into and explored and looked is about 500 feet deep. So it goes back about 500 feet till it becomes basically inaccessible unless you had pros in there, maybe did some digging and moving around. But you got to imagine this. For commercial caves that we have here in the States and everywhere else in New Mexico, 500 feet's nothing. All right? That's not very large at all. So you're going through all this. They said this. This is what I thought was interesting. It's carved from limestone, this cave is. But it's dry. You'd think it'd be damp and holding moisture. It's not. Now, they say that a stream will gush from the mouth of the cave and come off in there, but the cave is dry. So, it would make a good storage area if you had to. Now, it says that it makes it almost impossible to navigate because of they don't over the roar of the water to where it comes out. So, what I'm getting is it's deep up in there, but the water doesn't come from the back. The water's kind of coming up out of the front and running out of it. So, once you get past the water and get up inside it a little ways, it's dry. And that's probably another thing that keeps it cool and moist and all with the, but the dry thing of it is it's not, you know, rains dripping and dropping and holding pools of water and things up inside there. So you could store things for long times. And like I said, it's become very popular. You can go and look, there's web pages for it. It's very popular for people that want to go and inspect this. What's wild is they've had some strange things happen there. There was a fellow named Bill Eden, and he's owned all this for years of this. And he's probably knows more about the cave and the story and everything that would go on there. Now, what started off, of course, is he was a farmer, and he went in and he added lights to the cave, you know, and all this. And he said it was undeveloped, basically, when he found the cave. And he went and started adding some things to make it more of an attraction because he knew the story. He knew people would want to come find it. And apparently there's hundreds and hundreds of visitors that show up every year that just want to see it. They just want to go up and see it. They've heard these stories, like what we're telling them. They want to go check it out. He was always kind of puzzled about it. You know, he's like, how do they know it's here? How do they find it? There's no, this is before he put the lights, before he made it where you could go and have access to it. People would come up to his house and just be like, hello, you know, can we check out your cave? And he's like, how do y'all know it's here? So people were digging in and doing research. And that's whenever he was like, okay, all right, you know, I think we're gonna do something. We're going to kick this thing off. Now, many of the strange stories that happens around this cave now actually happened to Bill himself. Now, there was some others that involved the guys that have come to the cave to visit. Like, there's one of them that says a woman came to visit one day, and she asked to go down and see the cave. And she'd brought some friends of hers with her, about 15 people total. So they all followed Bill down. And, of course, it's, you know, you've walked into Carlsbad instead of taking the elevator. You cut back and forth. You got to imagine, it's not the easiest little stroll that you get down in there. They said all at once, the woman that had came up to the door and knocked and was kind of in charge of her group just sat down in the middle of the path. They're walking at it. She just stops. And they're like, what are you doing? What are you sitting down for? She answered, she's like, I'm not just stopping to sit down. She said there was a heavy weight. And what she reported was it felt like a ton of lead was pressing her to the ground so she couldn't get up. Now, they go on to say that several of the members managed to get her to her feet and then carry her back up the hill to her car. So she said it felt like the weight of the world was pressing down on her, just her, when she got down there close. Now, Bill goes on, he talks about that, you know, the things that have happened to him. He says you can hear footsteps in there all the time. You go in there and just sit down and be quiet, you can hear people walking, something walking around in there all the time. He also says in one of these interviews that lots of people come out here expecting to see a ghost or a witch or whatever you want to call it. He said, I just call it a spirit. And he claims that he saw it. He said, it looked like a person with its back turned to you. He said, it looked like it was built out of a real white, heavy fog or snow. He said, but it was a very solid white. He said, you couldn't see through it. And it actually had the complete figure of a person till you got down to where the ankles should be. He said, the ankles were gone. It's nothing there. It wasn't even touching the floor. It was just drifting and bouncing along, which instantly made me think about that thing you saw that time.
Yeah.
That funky color like that.
Bizarre.
It's very bizarre. Now, he said, like, you know, we're talking about a lot of them come out there. They want to see the ghost. They try to, and they don't really see anything. A lot of them go away disappointed. You know, they want to go and be part of something crazy. But he says this, that he took a group of young people in the cave one evening for just a tour, and that they had been inside for about an hour walking around in there, and they stopped in this back room where they talked a while, and then Bill was telling them what had happened to him. Said as they were starting to leave, one of the girls in the group started making these remarks about the authenticity of this place. That whether or not, is this thing really haunted?
Right.
You know, are you just, is this where it's really at? You know, and this, that, and the other. And that she was very disappointed. You know, I'm super disappointed in this, that, and the other. They say that she goes on whining and chattering about all this stuff. And into this passage that connects these two rooms is very narrow. So you kind of got to crowd in and get down there. So Bill said that everybody else in the group seemed to be having a great time. And that, you know, they're just giggling and laughing and talking about it as they go on through there. Said the girl was complaining, was walking directly in front of Bill at this point. So he's, you know, he's kind of pushing them out, making sure that nobody gets lost. Said that she's walking along. All of a sudden, she stumbles back like she'd been pushed. Says she took a step or two back, and then she sat down on the floor. Everybody's like, what are you doing? She said, somebody slapped me. So Bill was like, nobody slapped you. So the girl gets up, and she's like, I said they all moved up to the front of the cave. So once there, they shone a light on her face. Her cheek said it had a huge red welt on it where somebody had smacked it, so much so that they were visible fingerprints on the side, like where you could see where the fingers were on red welt where somebody had smacked her.
Slapped the hell out of her.
Knocked her down. Yeah. So you're talking about a good smack, like drew the hand back, laid a warm one on her face.
Because you ever see those guys do that slap fighting?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's what basically she got tattooed by something. And he was like, look, you're in front of us. Nobody's hiding around the corner to slap you in the face. That's not what happened. So Bill goes on to tell that in 1977, there were some soldiers from Fort Campbell, Kentucky. They wanted to come visit the cave. So Bill took them down in on a tour. And of course, where'd they go? The far back room. Said they all sat down and were just talking and all this. And Bill's telling them about what, you know, some strange things that have happened to him while he's been there since he's just on the farm, not even in the cave,
right?
But just on the farm. And again, one of the soldiers there was like, man, I don't know about all this. You know, I'm a little skeptical. I think y'all might be pulling our legs and whatnot. I said he'd been a lot of places. This is what the soldier claimed. He said, I've been to a lot of places that, have, you know, people have told me are haunted. All this. He's like, nothing strange has happened to me. Like, I'm just not buying it. I hear and I go in, and he's like, I really go and check all this stuff out, a personal kind of like experience, and have nothing crazy happen. And like you and I've always talked to, you don't want to tempt them. You don't want to put that kind of bad mojo out there and have them take you up on it. Like, oh,
yeah,
you know, you're going to get slapped in the face now, partner. Well, Bill, you know, he's just like, eh. You know, he's like, okay, you know, whatever. You don't have to believe. I'm just telling you what happened to me. Well, I said that if something happened, this is what I said, Bill added, he said, if something happened, you probably wouldn't ever want to come back here again. You know, that's what he said. So if something happened to you, you would want to leave. You'd never want to come back. I don't want that. So he said that they all sat down there and talked a while. He said, so they all got up to leave, all except for the young fella who had been talking about, you know, he didn't care. He goes, Mr. Eden, can you come here and help me? I can't get up. So Bill and all of the buddies that, you know, the guy, his friends that were there with him, the other dude, so they all thought he was messing around. Said it wasn't very long until Bill was like, there's something really wrong with this kid. Said he was begging for help. Said his face was beet red. He's sweating. He's freaking out. Said he's sweating so bad, it looks like you had drenched him in water.
Mm.
Shirts wet, this whole thing. Said he took his hands to help him to get up. He said the man's hands were cold and clammy, like he was going into shock. Like something horrible had happened.
Right.
He continued to call for help. He continued to say, look, I can't. He says this, that he felt very strong arms wrap around him, his chest, like from the back to the front, and then start squeezing him so tight that he couldn't even catch his breath. So they all got him up, helped support him, and took off. They got him up to the front of the cave, got some of that water, and he said that the dude got the feeling better. They took him outside of the cave, and he said, this time, you know, he's ready to go. He's like, I'm good. I'm not. And he said he didn't even have any side effects. They got him out of there, got him kind of cooled down. All of a sudden, he's like, dude, I'm good. I'm good. It's crazy. I'm good. Said as he was walking to the car, he turned around and walked back and stuck his hand out to Bill. He said, he goes, Mr. Eden, you were right about one thing here. And he's like, what's that? And he goes, I won't ever be back. I will never come back here again. So, like I said, you can go now. You can check it all out. There's some other crazy stuff. There's a lot of wild stuff. The Kirbys are the people that own it now. They bought it back in 1993. And, you know, it stays when they manage it and all this stuff. So people can go check it out. They have a website that you can go check out if you want to go see it. There's several of the strange stories that's happened to the Kirbys on this whole thing. So it goes back into this. What could it have been? I don't want to say that it's just not this witch. Something lends me to feel like it's almost some sort of voodoo or something along those lines, that I'm not so sure that the woman that he had bad dealings with was the one that brought this thing out.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure whatever this was something that some occultist school teacher brought out. It almost feels to me like it was something that was brought out to protect the slaves of that area.
So that's what it sounds
right?
like.
Yeah. And that they had it, and that they just said, I'm unleashing it on you.
It's a crazy legend, man. Yeah. And a lot of people believe in it.
It's so wild. And like I said, there's more stories. There's more creepy things that have happened to people in their caves. All this stuff. We just know about, like we said, what happened to the older, you know, the older generation and all that stuff. But it's one of those stories that it's American folklore. I don't think we'll ever be able to nail it down, but there does seem to be a darkness that still dwells in that cave and in and around that area.
That's very scary. Well, let's take a break, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Very interesting story. You know, it makes me wonder how much over time has been added to the story,
yes.
You know, embellished upon. But, you know, it's been printed in newspapers and stuff like that from a long time ago. So I definitely think, you know, I mean, the people are obviously real people. This is real things. There definitely was a murder and death and things. So very scary. I like the poltergeist angle to it. I also like the angle of it was witchcraft and somebody or voodoo, you know,
or
somebody
a djinn of some sort.
Yeah,
or something.
Djinn is a very, that's a good
or
word.
Or a tulpa, something that they've created.
And how, and like much like many poltergeist stories, it kind of ramps up. So in the beginning, it's just disembodied voices. Then it becomes the full on leg kicks and open handed slaps.
Right? Yeah. It sounds like a Pancrase ghost. It's the king of Pancrase. It's going to be Boss Rutan's ghost is what was messing with those people.
That's what it sounds like. Oh, very interesting.
I've got something I want to tell everybody about real quick. We've got a good friend of ours named Eric, and Eric left Texas, and he moved up there to Lake Lure, North Carolina. And I worked with Eric when I worked here at the city. He worked for another group, but Eric is a chef. He is a full-blown chef. He'd get it done before he worked with her. And so we would always like, come on, man, you gotta apply it. You got to use it. And he would always do some, you know, small things, or he would do catering, things along those lines.
Right.
The son of a gun ups and moves off to North Carolina because it's beautiful up there, let's be honest. And he opens up a food truck. Now, folks, I haven't got to go up there to Eric's food truck, but I have eaten his food, hung out with him, and known him forever, and he's a wonderful dude. So, folks, I'm going to urge anybody in that area around Lake Lure to go visit. Now, you can find it on Facebook, this whole thing. It'd mean a lot to me, and it would also mean a lot to him if you just popped in and was like, hey, you know, your friends from Texas up here, you know, and just tell them Cam and Kyle sent you and this whole deal. It's called the Relish Food Truck. It's actually on U.S. Highway 64 and 74A. The address is 7115 U.S. Highway 64. I'm going to tell you what he makes. He has something he calls a bagel thing, and it's a grilled herb chicken sandwich, mixed greens, sun-dried tomato, and basil aioli sauce. I'm telling you, this guy breaks it down to where they're amazing. He has breakfast sandwiches there, like English muffin. This one's actually called the Wanker. It's toasted English muffin, black forest ham, scrambled egg, mixed greens, tomato gravy, BLT. I know it was right up Kyle's alley. He makes one of those with a lemon aioli sauce.
Trust me, do not order BLT.
Yeah, right? But it would be just awesome if y'all could just pop by and say, hey, you know, and say, hey, look, I heard about y'all, all that stuff. And just, you know, me and Kyle are going to get up there to see him one day and go up there and fish the lake and hang out. And when we do, we'll get a hold of all of y'all and get everybody else. Because I would like to have a get-together sometime to try to have some listeners come and hang out.
That's would be awesome. And right. Speaking of incredible meals, let's not forget about our great sponsors, Blue Apron. Go over there and check this week's menu out right now, and you'll get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/expanded. Don't forget the /expanded part. And also, don't forget about Gaia.com. There's a lot of new shows over there we've been talking about recently, like Missing Links with Greg Braden, Buzzsaw with Regina Meredith, Beyond Belief with George Norrie, and of course, Truth Hunter with Linda Moulton Howe. And speaking of Linda Moulton Howe, we're going to be seeing her in person in just a couple of weeks.
That's right.
And if you want to know what I'm talking about, she's not going to be here in studio, but we're going to be traveling to Eureka Springs, Arkansas for the 30th annual Ozark Mountain UFO Conference. That's this April 14th through the 16th in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. She is not going to be alone. There's going to be other speakers like Stanton Friedman, Mike Cleland, David Marler, and Travis Walton. And me and Cam are going to be there live and in person. And so if you're in that area or wanting to plan a road trip, go ahead and drive to Eureka Springs. And you'll get a chance to meet me and Cam, as well as those other fantastic guests. Cam, do you have any big plans for the rest of your week?
No, I do not. It's just grind is all I got.
Man, I have got a really busy, it was because it's the end of the quarter, yep. Tax season and everything. I've got a super busy week. I'm not looking forward to it much. It's going to be a lot of long hours. But I will get through it. Don't forget, if you'd like to share your stories with the show, you can email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can also call the show 817-945-3828. You can follow us on all forms of social media. And don't forget, if you want more of Expanded Perspectives, there's another show called Expanded Perspectives Elite that comes out every Friday. You can go to the website, expandedperspectives.com, and sign up for that. It's $5 a month, and you'll get an entirely new show every week, in addition to the entire back catalog, almost 200 episodes over there. And if you're like, well, I don't know if I'll like Expanded Perspectives Elite. Look, if you like Expanded Perspectives, you're going to like Expanded Perspectives Elite. It's the exact same format, same length, same everything. It's just an additional show with no ads and, you know, not as much. We might curse a little bit. You know, not over the top, but we have less restrictions because those shows are, of course, not re-aired on other radio stations. Everybody out there, give someone a hug. Be safe, be careful, and have a good week. For Pretty Lights, Phantoms and Monsters, Inner Tradition Books, New Page Books, Llewellyn Books, Anomalous Books, and Ancient American Magazine, I'm Kyle Filson, and he's Cam Hale.
Much love from Texas, y'all. Peace. We'll be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.